always try not to turn his microphone on when the singing's going on, because that's the last thing you'd want. Turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And if you grew up in church, you knew what was coming on the first Sunday every year. You could time a lot of church services and messages by the time of the year it was. You knew you were going to get it. That first January day, that first January Sunday, you better do better this year than you did last year. And we're going to set resolutions, Jonathan. And then when we went back to school, you know, the teachers and the kids got their marching orders. And, you know, you knew it through the years, right, of what it was going to have. So, you know, certain churches, you would do that. It was about you doing better. That was the whole thing that the New Year's message was set around. And then some churches, especially when you get into the charismatics and things, they always have it. If this year is going to be your greatest year ever, God's going to bless you like he's never blessed you. And, you know, you're going to have money growing on trees and Cadillacs falling out of the sky and all that. And none of that may be true. So, but there's one thing that we can know in 2025, God's going to be there for us. We know that. So, according to Forbes Health Survey, the average New Year's resolution lasts just 3.74 months. So we're talking about 3 months, 3 weeks. So the average resolution by April 20th is broken. Okay? Those people are doing better than I am. That means most goals are abandoned well before the halfway mark of the year. Now, there's some key terms when it comes to making resolutions that Forbes cited. One is early abandonment. Abandonment. Nearly 80% of our resolutions are abandoned by February. You go to a gym right now in January, it'll be the most crowded place in town. By about February or March, it'll be like a ghost town. Well, where so-and-so was in January, couldn't get through the doors. And, you know, people that work out are, you know, whatever kind of a running joke was, it may be crowded now, give it a few weeks. So that's usually the case. It makes the first month of the year a critical period for success. If you're going to be successful in it, you better do it now. Another is Quitter's Day. The second Friday in January, this year that would be January the 10th, has earned a dubious nickname, Quitter's Day. It's often when motivation wanes and people give up on a resolution. So more people are going to quit on their resolutions on January 10th than any other day this year, okay? When I was younger, one of my bucket list deals, I'm talking way younger, one of my bucket list deals was to hike the Appalachian Trail all the way from Georgia to Maine. And then I realized what to call, number one, that's tough. But number two, just you've got to have a support system. You've got to have people dropping off food at certain spots all the way through. And it costs money at that time, back in the early 90s, late 80s, it cost you about $6,000 to do that after all your supplies and food and everything else. And I'd been on the trail in Tennessee before, but I wanted to do the whole thing. And wisely, I decided against that, but I'd studied up on it, knew everything there was to know about it, and I knew in the state of Virginia, more people quit on the Appalachian Trail than anywhere else, and there was a place in Virginia they called the Quitter Spot. That's where more people quit than anywhere, and they said the reason, when you got out of Tennessee in the Smokies, you've been there on a trail, you've got all this canopy and all these trees, and you're just getting through that. And then when you get into Virginia, into the Blue Ridge, the Shenandoah, it's beautiful. It opens up, but you've got the same view for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And you're from Southwest Virginia to Northeast Virginia is a long, long state. That's a lot of distance. So you're on it for weeks. And There was a certain spot where people say, am I still in Virginia? I'm never going to get out of Virginia. Am I still here? I'm never going to get done. And they quit. So there's that time when you just come and you say, I've had enough. There's one other thing in resolutions that it's called long-term success. Only 6% of New Year's resolutions, according to the 2023 Forbes poll, last beyond a year. It's not a lifestyle. It's just something they choose to do. It's not something that's ingrained where it's a lot, i.e., you know, vegetarians or vegans, they may have eaten that way forever. They may have grown up that way. It's in their DNA, basically, okay? It's not something they choose to do overnight and then don't stay with it. Now, do we treat our relationship with God like a resolution? That's what I want you to ask yourself today. Do I treat my relationship with God as a resolution, or is it a lifestyle? Okay, in Ephesians 2, you should be there. Look at verses 4 through 6. And there's a couple of key phrases that we want to pick out here. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which, and you underline this highlighted, which he loved us. He loves us. Now, before verse 4, it's talking about basically as an individual away from God, where we were at, where the human race was at. But God loved us, that even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, our sins, he made us alive together. Versions say he quickened us. He made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together with Christ. But he loved us. Okay? Now, John 10:10, and you don't have to turn there, you can just write it down, but John 10:10 says, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. We were made alive. It said in verse 5, we were made alive. We were made alive because the Christian life is better than any other option. So a lot of times we look at this and we think, okay, we become Christians. We were made alive. We're not dead in our sins anymore. But our lives as Christians, we should be alive. It should energize us. It should give us peace. It should give us joy and happiness. We're made alive, like he said, because the Christian life is better than any other option. So let me ask you this. If you found out, and this is not even a realistic question, but if you found out somehow that there was no eternity, there was no heaven or hell. When you died, that was it. Would you give up the Christian life? Would you give it up? Or would you say, well, there's no reason for me to live this way. There's no repercussions. I can do whatever I want, live the way I want to. No parameters. Or would you say, you know, I wouldn't trade this for any other way? Okay? There's no better option. The book of Hebrews is all about there is a better way than what you had. So there's not a better way than the Christian life. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4 of what we just read said, God made us alive because he loved us. So what does love mean? When you go to a wedding, you'll hear these verses a lot that the pastor brings up, and he talks about love. You know, what love is. The man loves the woman loves the man. Well, what is love? And these verses describe it. But if you look at verse 7 and the first part of verse 8, like I said, you've heard these at weddings. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's huge at the end. It never ends. So, as we go into 2025, does God love us any more than he did in 2024? Not a bit. We can have resolutions. We can decide that we're going to change things, but God never changes. His love and his mercy and his grace are there every second of our lives. It never changes. Okay? So I want to look at God's love and what that has for us in 2025. Okay? What does it mean when God loves us? Well, the first thing it says is his love bears all things. Turn to Psalm 68, verse 19. Leo loved to go to the Psalms, and he does that more than I do, I'm sure, but you can just get so much peace through the Psalms. So love bears all things. So what does it mean when it says bears all things? So Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Now I'll give you a second. And this would be like the perfect New Year's verse, in my opinion. Psalm 68, verse 19. Okay. Blessed be the Lord who daily, and I highlighted the word daily or boldened it, who daily bears our burdens. The God who is our salvation. So 1 Corinthians says love bears all things. Psalm 68, 19 says the Lord daily bears our burdens. So as we go into 2025, we know that the Lord will bear every burden, every problem that we have. Let's pray for this right quick. Lord, we pray as this siren goes out, you know the problem, you know what's going on, Lord, and we just pray that you would watch over this situation, everybody that's involved, the first responders, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. So, in 2025, I know this. The Lord is daily going to bear my burden. That he's going to help me in any issue, in any problem I have, he's going to be there. God does not celebrate New Year's. He doesn't have New Year's resolutions. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is consistent. He did not need to make resolutions. I may need to try to make them to do better. God doesn't have to do better. He's perfect in every way. He's perfect every day. God is faithful. He is there today just like he was yesterday. Okay? On January 1st, 2025, God was there for me the same way he was there for me December 31st, 2024. He is there this year just like he was last year. Our access to God is up to us. Our access to God is up to, he's there. He's waiting. He's there with open arms every day. The access that I have with God is up to me. There's an individual used to play in the NFL. He was a great football player. His name was Ryan Clark. He works for ESPN now. He played for the Steelers, Dave. Played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time. He'll be on ESPN today. About doing the NFL games. And I saw him on a podcast, and I stopped when I saw the headline. I stopped and watched it just for a few minutes. Ryan Clark is a claims Christianity. He's a Christian outwardly. And he was talking about, he has a sickle cell trait diagnosis. And he said his goal in 2025 was to strengthen his faith. He said when he was sick with sickle cell in 2020 and evidently thought he was going to die, he said that he felt the most peace at that time than he'd ever felt in his life. Even though he was felt like he was close to death. He had more peace than any other time because I think he believed, felt like his relationship with God at that time was better than any other time. Well, fast forward to 2025, and he says, I don't feel that way now. Now, he is, I think he was very sincere. Now, he's Roman Catholic, and I'm not knocking that at all, but I do believe because of that, from what he was saying, he believes like he can lose his salvation. And I feel like from listening to him, he thinks that he may have done that. And his quote was, I know, and I think even despite all, this is great. He said, I know my relationship with God is mine and mine alone to nurture. If I feel it has regressed, it's only because of me. I'll say that one more time. I know my relationship with God is mine and mine alone to nurture. If I feel it's regressed, it's only because of me. So he said his goal was to strengthen his faith. But I would say one thing to him. If I could talk to him and be there, I would say this. He's making it sound like building that relationship with God is like going up Mount Everest. It's all this work that he's got to put into, and maybe 6 months from now, 9 months from now, he'll get it right. He's making it way too hard. Our relationship with God can be as good as it has ever been, just like that. It can be. It's just up to us because he doesn't change. We're not trying to earn trust with him or to get him into the right spot and right situations. We just need to have faith and have a daily relationship with him. That's all we have to have. Let me ask you this. How hard, husbands, how hard is it for you to have just an average husband-wife relationship with your wife? It shouldn't be that hard. It shouldn't be like, you know, I'm going to dedicate 90 minutes tomorrow to talk to her. Or I'm going to take her out 6 times this month. And you start, but it shouldn't be that. Wives, same way with the husbands. It should be natural that you speak, that you talk, that you're friends, that you do things together. I shouldn't have to set out a timeline or make an agenda to do these things. It should be just natural. That's the way our relationship is with God. It should be natural. Okay? God is there consistently despite us. We can recharge our relationship with God at any second. He is waiting. It doesn't need to be like a resolution that we can break within just a few days. If you have a resolution to say, I want to be closer to God, that's great. I'm not telling you not to. That's great. But it ought to be natural that we do that. That just we have that relationship and we spend that time and we love him. But most importantly, like I spoke before, we trust his grace and accept his grace and his love. That should be natural because he doesn't have to change anything because it's a new year. He's there. So love bears all things. It also believes all things. So I ask you, and I ask myself, do I enter 2025 believing in God? Because I feel like he believes in me. I feel like he believes in you. He wouldn't have sent Jesus to die for you if he didn't believe in you. And we've said this before. Jesus knew when he chose Peter, he knew what Peter was going to do. Did Peter deny him, catch Jesus off guard? Absolutely not. He knew, but still chose him. Okay? Of all the times that I come up short, Jesus knew and still chose to save me. No matter, he knew what kind, how many times I dropped the ball, how many times I'd come up short, but he still believed in me. That's not changed. He believes, even at my lowest point, he believes in me. He believes in you. Pisteo, and Leo used to bring all this up. Pisteo in the Greek is deep trust and confidence. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we know God bears all things. And God believes all things. Now that belief is residual. He believes in us, but we believe in Him. And it's crucial. We have to believe in Him. That is the one prerequisite we have. We must believe. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. We must believe in God, in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica. And he says, "For this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of mere men, but as what it really is." So what is really the word of God? "The word of God, which also is at work in you who believe." So if I believe, according to this here, the word of God, if I believe in it, it automatically works in me. Just like my heart works, my brain works, my muscles work, my lungs work. The word of God, and according to the Bible, the word was God and the word is God. He works in us because we believe. Okay? Because it says, but it is what it really is, the word of God, which also is at work in you who believe. So it works in us when we believe. God works in us. So if you want to know, I'm going to make this resolution that God works in me and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, we need to study the word. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray and have devotion, and all that brings you closer. But it says here, if I believe God's word automatically starts its work in me. Belief is the best thing I can have for 2025. Turn to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. So love bears all things. God's going to bear our problems. God's going to bear our issues in 2025. He'll be there with us and be there for us. But He also believes in us just as we believe in Him. So Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. Familiar verse. "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For the one who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He proves to be the one who rewards those who seek Him." So without faith, I can't please God. What do I need to do in 2025? Have faith and believe in God, and He'll do the rest. Because it says, at the end, He proves to be the one who rewards you or rewards those who seek Him. So what's good? If we believe, what will God do for us in 2025? He'll bear our burdens. Okay? He will work in us, but He will also reward us. Now that reward does not mean, like I said, you're going to have money growing on trees and that you're going to become a millionaire overnight, and you're never going to have health issues, and nothing's ever going to go wrong in your family, and you're never going to have anything goes in your wrong in your life. But God will reward you spiritually. He may reward you financially. I'm not going to say He won't, but He's going to be there for you and reward you openly. He said reward you openly as a believer. Okay? Now, it also hopes all things. God's love hopes all things. Hope in the Greek is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. And that is confident expectation. Turn to Romans 15, verse 13. Now, hope and belief sound like the same thing. It sounds close. But according to Paul here, one leads to another. Okay? Hope does not mean I hope something happens. How many times have you been like in a bad situation? And you're like, man, I hope this happens. I need this to happen. I need it in a worse way. I just hope it happens. It's not that. It's not desperation. It says confident expectation. I have a hope that this is going to take place. So Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope. So God loves us. And it said here, he's the God of hope. We have hope. Because of our relationship with God, we have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's it say? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So once you have believed, what happens? You will abound in hope. Once you believe in Christ, once you believe in His Word, once you believe in the gospel, it said you will abound, you will be filled, you will overflow in confident expectation. So people who really live this way going into 2025, they don't worry. They're not bound. Now, there may be stress in their life, absolutely. But they have that confident expectation. They live peacefully. Now, I wouldn't go back to the way I wanted to live before I was saved, before Christ saved me, because I have a peace now that I didn't have at that time. I worried about things and everything that I don't worry about now. And I don't say this to... I'm not praising myself at all when I say this, but I want to give you an example, and I've used it before. I got saved in 2019, and in May. So I guess it would have been about November, December of that year. We sat down at the lunch table at school, and Scott Ashley, who's Molly's husband, coaches at the middle school and the high school, teaches out there. Wonderful Christian man, great, great guy, great guy. Love him. Love that whole family. And he said, you know something? He sat down and he looked at me. He said, I can tell a big change in you in the last couple of months. And I said, really? What? I said, I just thought I was myself. He said, I can just tell. He said, it's nothing that you've tried to do or anything like that. He said, you're more at peace. You're in a constantly a better mood. You changed. And I had nothing that I tried to do. I hadn't made it a goal of mine to where I changed my attitude or the way I acted. Obviously you want to act better, but what I'm saying is just my overall day-to-day, the way I interact with people. Okay? I hadn't changed any of that. But that was God working in me, and I didn't even realize it. God works in us as believers in ways that we don't even know and we don't even realize. But you know something? That other person that you're around daily, he'll catch it. You won't even know it. He'll know something's changed in you. He'll know that something, that you have a peace that you didn't have. Or that you had just this hope, this glow about you, your overall feelings about life that you didn't have before. And like I said, you may not even realize it. That's God working in you. Okay? Believing leads to hope, and that leads to just an overall change for the better in the way you live your life day in and day out. Now, the last thing is love endures all. And this turned out to be my favorite one. Okay? Now you could turn to 1 Thessalonians 3, but it'll be a few minutes before I get to that. The Greek for endures in this verse, and I'll butcher it, but is hupomenai. H-U-P-O-M-E-N-E-I. H-U-P-O-M-E-N-E-I. That is the Greek for endure. It refers to the endurance of setbacks. Now check this out. It refers to the endurance of setbacks and rebuffs anything which gives up on people, whatever they do. So enduring means that you're going to endure setbacks, but you're never going to give up. Okay? So God's love endures. So what that means is, no matter how tough my life is, what happens in my life, no matter how many setbacks I have, God's there. So it looked like Jim was going to get out and everything was good, and then we have some issues and he goes back. He kind of regresses back in. But according to this, God's there the whole time. Okay? He is with us. He endures with us. His love endures through our setbacks. And it also never gives up on me. And according to the Greek here, it was put in whatever they do. It never gives up on me. He's there no matter what, no matter how dark the times are, and he never gives up. Man, isn't that a great promise for 2025 to know that in 2025, and I don't know what's out there, you don't know what's out there for you, I don't know what's out there for me as far as us living our day-to-day lives go, but I do know that God, according to this, will never give up on us throughout the year. And he's consistent, daily, minute by minute, second by second, he'll never give up. Do we give up on ourselves? Man, I'm the worst. I'm the worst at getting down on myself and giving up on myself. Okay? Do we give up on others? Do we give up on loved ones? Do we give up in, well, people in our family members? We do. I do. God doesn't. Okay? Do we give up on God? Well, God, where are you? I feel like I'm not even close to God. I don't know where he's at. He's right there, the same place he's been. No matter how far apart we seem from him. Okay? Do we, when we have struggles, do we blame things on God? God, why did you let this happen? Okay? But according to this, God never, ever, ever, through enduring, never, ever gives up on us. Now, some people will say, well, look at endure. And in Matthew 24:13, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, he who endures to the end, he endures to the end, shall be saved. A lot of people use endures that way. The Calvinists use it that way. Okay? They believe that you can't know that you're chosen, you're God's elect. Well, how do I know if I'm God's elect? Well, you'll find out at the end. If you endure to the end, then you'll know you're the one that was elected. You're the one that was selected by God. But you can't know now. You don't have free choice. Okay? Either God selects you or he doesn't, and you won't know until the judgment. That's the only way you know. Well, it's a heck of a way to go through life. Okay? And there's a lot, about 35 to 40% of the Southern Baptist Convention now are Calvinist. Okay? So there's a couple things that always I wondered about election. I've never met a Calvinist or known a Calvinist whose children weren't one of the elect. It was always somebody else's kids, not mine. My kids, Judy, are in the elect. Always. Okay? It's that guy's down the street. It's his kids that God's not going to have to do anything to do with. Not mine. Okay? But at that time, in Matthew 24, Jesus was talking to the 144,000 who are going to have to endure through the setbacks. They are going to have to survive the tribulation, and if they survive the tribulation, The 144,000 are the ones that are going to be saved. In this age of grace, we don't have to guess whether or not we endure or God endures of us. Okay? God endures of us even when He doesn't agree with what we're doing. It says He'll never give up on us. So it's an entirely different thing. This is not to the kingdom or to the Old Testament in the age of grace. We don't endure to the end. God endures with us. God endures with me every day. No matter how short I come, He endures with me every day. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. And I'm reading this from a different translation than I normally read. But I love the way at the end, down toward verse 5, how it phrases this. Now, yours may read a little bit differently, but stick with me. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people, for not everyone is a believer. Now, this is a great promise. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. So you have that promise. Okay? He's faithful. And we are confident in the Lord that you are going to do and will continue to do the things that we commanded you. Now, verse 5. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. Now, Jesus is going to endure of us. I may not have patience. I may be a negative thinker. Okay? I may look on doom and gloom all the time. I may want everything right now. Okay? In my time. How do I patiently endure? Well, according to this, it comes from Christ. That endurance, when you are a believer, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you believe, just as in all this stuff, you will be able to patiently endure. That's how you never give up. Well, I may not have got the doctor's diagnosis I wanted today, but I can patiently endure. I can live in hope. I may not have got that job I wanted. I may not have made the grade I wanted to make. I may not have that personal relationship with somebody that I wanted to have. All these things that may have happened. I may have these bills piling up. I can patiently endure because I believe in Christ and I just turn it over to Him, the one who is always there, who it says never gives up on us, as endures our setbacks no matter what we do. Okay? Because when it comes down to it, the bottom line is it's not about me. As Leo used to say every Sunday, it's about Jesus. Every day, every moment, it's about Jesus. Now, I can go put all my faith in my resolutions, and I can have great resolutions. Okay? It doesn't have to be that I'm going to eat better and I'm going to exercise more and all those are great. But it can be spiritual resolutions that you have. But you know what? Resolutions are made to be broken. So many of them get broken. Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do the other. And then in the flesh, we can't live up to that. Well, what do we think? I'm no good. I may never even been saved. I'm no good. God doesn't love me. I'm not worth loving. Okay? But the thing is, you put all the pressure and you put all the responsibility on yourself into something that you probably can't live up to a lot of the times. So what we have to remember is, in 2025, our faith is in God. So my resolution is to have faith in God. And if when I do that, He does so much of the work that I don't even know that's happening. If I fall short in 2025, Jesus is there. Every step of the way. He'll endure with me. He'll love me. Okay? He'll believe in me no matter what. Things I feel like don't go the way that they need to go, Jesus will be with me. And finally, this is a great verse at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, 7 through 8. At the start of verse 8, it said, love never ends. God's love for you, no matter what, never ends. I said God doesn't make resolutions, but He does deal in covenant. He does deal in promises. So what is God and Jesus? What is their promise and covenant? What is their 2025 covenant to you? That God's love never ends. And it won't stop December 31st and you've got to do it all over again 2026. That's not going to be the issue. God loves you no matter what, and He's there for you. So I'm telling you, I'm telling myself, live in God's love and grace. Ken talked about grace earlier. Live in God's grace in 2025. Quit trying to be that super person, that super Christian, that super mom, that super dad, that super grandparent, whatever. Okay? Just put your faith in God. Believe in God, and He will take care of things that you can't. I can't take care of things on my own. Okay? I don't have that wind. We don't have that. Trust God and let God do the work. And I'll read 1 Corinthians 13, 7 through 8. One more time. God's love bears all things. God's love believes all things. God's love hopes all things. God's love endures all things. God's love for you and I will never end. Martha Jo, will you come and play, please?